Jesus taught very clearly that being prepared to meet him takes precedence over all family relationships and duties. It's just that simple. And we have to be led by the Spirit. I can't tell one person, lay down the law here and say, look, if your husband or your wife does this, this is how you respond. If they do this, this is how you respond. When you get to this point, you must separate. When you get to that point, you must get divorced. You know, at this point, you can get back together with them. Over here, you can do this. No, everybody's got to be led by the Spirit, but you got to be free. Your mind has to be free of all the garbage you've been taught in a religious system, which they tell you comes from the Bible, which it doesn't. Your mind's got to be free from all that to be led by the Spirit. Okay? If you're convinced the Bible says you can't ever separate from your husband, separate from your wife, under any circumstances for anything, then if the Spirit of God tells you to separate, you'll never hear it. I'm just giving you an example. Same thing with children. You know, the Bible says, children, obey your parents. How about this? How about a teenager, 14, 15 years old, lives in a family full of scumbags, the whole family's scum. They party all the time. They watch dirty movies. They swear and they're foul and everything. The kid goes to and gets saved. So he comes home. Now his whole family's scumbags and he's a Christian. What are you going to do with that passage? It says, children, obey your parents. Should he obey his parents? Continue watching dirty movies, drinking, smoking, talking foul? Or should he disobey his parents and try and live a Christian life? See, you can't just go through and blanketly apply the Bible. God's had to show you how to apply these verses of the Bible in the situations we're in. Okay? You have to be led by the Spirit. That kid is in for a rough ride. He's going to balance the proper balance between obeying the parents but not sinning. And if he doesn't know Jesus personally in a real way, he'll never make it. Okay? There's all kinds of relationships like that. You got a parent who has kids that won't listen. A parent has kids who won't listen. What are you going to do? You know, different things like that. You have to be led by the Spirit. You have to be led by the Spirit in relationships. We cannot let any relationship, whether it's a husband or wife, mother, father, granddaughter, grandchildren, grandparent, God does not want our natural relationships hindering us, interfering with us, our walk down. I'm talking about our walk in the Spirit, going to perfection, being made in the image of Jesus. He doesn't want us allowing those things to hinder us and to take us out. And if you believe that garbage is being taught in the churches today, they will. You won't get 10 feet down the race when your family will take you out. What's being taught in churches is lies, and it's being used to take people down. So I just wanted to show you some scriptures tonight that Jesus Christ did not view family the way the churches view family. Okay? We're not supposed to be living in Adam. Our loyalties aren't supposed to be in Adam. Our first love isn't supposed to be in Adam. Our first love is supposed to be in the kingdom of God, that whole spiritual. There's a new family. There's a new kingdom. There's a new life. In Christ is completely different than in Adam. We're supposed to be walking and dwelling in Christ. That makes the whole thing different. It's a whole change of program. But nobody does it. They just add Jesus to their Adamic religion. They get religion. They say the creed. They accept the doctrines. They pray. They read the Bible. They go to church. And they just add God to their Adamic religious life. And that's all this doctrine comes out of. All this false doctrine. I'm telling you, in Christ, it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different world. You don't walk like that. Christ is first. Relationships are second. Okay. That was what I had for this week. I just want to encourage people to be led by the Spirit. I'm not trying to encourage anybody to divorce their husband. I'm not trying to encourage anybody to divorce their wife. I'm not trying to encourage anything except to be led by the Spirit. But you have to have your mind free of all that garbage, or you can't be led by the Spirit, you see? It's impossible to be led by the Spirit if you have presuppositions that are false. That the Spirit can't change. The Spirit can't get through. You get a block there. So all I'm trying to say is be led by the Spirit. But in order to be led by the Spirit, you've got to get all this garbage out of our minds. All this false doctrine about family that comes from people who are walking in idolatry. They worship the golden shrine of family. And all their doctrine is wrong, wrong, wrong. They're twisting the Bible upside down. And you believe that, you'll never be able to be led by the Spirit. Okay? That's the point. Amen. If anybody had anything to share or ask or say, feel free to step up, take the mic. Don't be shy. God bless you. Thanks, Holly Dog. Amen. Rich and all them. Thanks, guys. So everybody understands? Everybody's with me. We're all on the same page, looks like. Lisa writes, but he answered, said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who is my brother? As he stretched forth his hands. Here is my mother, here are my brothers. Right. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my mother. Exactly. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it. Irma says, Holly Dog had a question on the screen. I missed it. I mean, hang on a second. I'll look. Holly Dog says, what if God tells you to pray against those unsaved family members? He sometimes does that. God tells you to pray against somebody. Oh, it was a statement. I'm sorry. Okay, there you go. Sorry about that, Holly Dog. Of course, that's another thing the church tells you God would never do. But the Bible's full of imprecatory prayers. I think I did a message on imprecatory prayers last. They're called imprecatory prayers last week or last year. I mean, so in order to follow the Spirit, there's all this garbage that I get out of our minds. It's in every area. The doctrine is wrong. All God's asking us to do is see things from the Spirit and move by the Spirit. It's up to Him whether a person can be saved or not, or whether a person is going through discipline, whether they're just being judged to be saved, or they're being judged because they're there's no more salvation for them. Only God knows where people are at, the decisions they made, and what He's doing with them. It's our job to get in the Spirit and flow with Jesus, to not live down there in Adam and see things from the Adamic natural realm, to get up in the Spirit and start flowing. He'll show us. When He does, He'll show you whether this thing, you got a relative is going through a horrible time. He'll show you whether He's drawing them to Himself or to judgment on them or what it is. And He'll show you whether you should pray for them or not if you really want to know the truth. Now, if you're just emotional and you're just hell-bound determined to get your family saved, then you're not going to hear anything from God. You can do what you want anyway. People believe they want, they do what they want anyway. But if you're really trying to walk in the Spirit and you're trying to be sensitive to the Spirit, then ask God to show us how to deal with relatives. I'm not saying all your relatives are lost or you should deal with them one way. Just get in the Spirit. All I'm trying to say is, what we've been taught about what we should do, what we could do, what we can't do, what we must do, all that stuff is garbage. None of that stuff is true. It's all lies. It comes from Adam. It comes from religious people who are living in Adam. They're no different than the world. No different than the world. God knows how He's dealing with our family members, what He's dealing with them. He knows which ones have gone too far, and we need to stay away from, just forget they ever existed. They're gone. They're never coming back. Drop it. He knows which ones He's still working with. He wants you to pray for them now. Maybe He wants you to pray for them in 2 weeks. Maybe He doesn't want you to pray for them right now. Later on, He wants you to pray for them. Only God knows what's going on. And the only way you're going to flow with Him right regarding these things if you're hearing by the Spirit. But we have to get all this garbage out of our mind, which says God would do this, God would never do that, God will never do this, He'll never tell you that, all that crap. Sorry, all that trash. It's a burden on my heart that our minds get clean from all this trash we've been taught. They put God in an Adamic box. They put God in a box that their Adamic nature and the world can understand and deal with and live with. And all these rules and regulations according to how that is. And it's just so wrong. It's the absolute opposite of moving by the Spirit, of being led by the Spirit. Okay, and if your mind is bound to those doctrines, what God will do, what He can't do, what He won't do, what you should never do, what you should always do, you'll never be able to flow with the Spirit. Never. Never in a million years. Okay. So it looks like we got it. Looks like we're sort of all on the same page here. Now go tell all your friends. Sorry. Lisa says, this last summer when I was visiting family, I had to leave my brother's home. We were supposed to stay with him, but I knew that God said leave. There you go. That's all. Just listen to the Spirit. Now, if you've been taught that the Bible says you never do that, you can't hear the Lord tell you that. That's just one example. If you've been taught the Bible says, you don't ever walk out of your brother's home, that's a bad witness, then you're never going to hear the Lord's voice tell you such a thing. In order to be led by the Spirit, we've got to get the junk out of our mind that limits God, tells us what God can and won't do, when it's all lies. It's all based on Adam's view of what God can't do and does do. All right? Holly Dog, Brian says, for all the pain that goes with having to separate from family, it's good to see that the Lord is strengthening others to go through it too. That's a huge blessing. Good. High Dog says, I messed up this week. Well, you have to learn, brother. We all have to learn. It's a learning walk. It's a learning curve. It doesn't come automatically. Trial and error. You got to fall down and get up, fall down and get up, fall down and get up. The Bible doesn't say the righteous man never falls. He says the righteous man falls 7 times and gets right back up. God brings him up. Okay? It doesn't matter if it fits. Hang on a second. Mom wanted to share something. But she's not sure it fits. I said, who cares if it fits? If the Lord gave you something to share, share it.
Hi, everyone. I've had a word about sonship on my heart for a few weeks and in my mind, and I keep meditating on it. The Lord keeps blessing me with scriptures. And I was thinking of the Lord just trying to bring these scriptures to my remembrance for myself or what. But it's been a real blessing and a real word, a real live word about sonship. And then I thought, well, I wonder if the Lord wants me to share this over this Pal Talk room. So I'm going to endeavor to share what's on my heart right now. It's about sonship, and I've had it for a couple of weeks, and I wasn't sure. Like I say, the Lord wanted me to share it, but I'm going to share it. Someone sent an email recently to Dan and said they don't truthfully understand sonship, but they have a real desire to walk in it. And that made me think, well, maybe the Lord wants me to share my testimony of how I came into sonship and what sonship really is. Maybe someone out there doesn't have that truth that we've been walking in. So I'm just going to share how the Lord brought me in to a sonship relation with Him. There were two scriptures that the Lord used to bring me into this. And I'm going to read those two scriptures. At the time, the Lord was speaking to me about something different to walk in. And I was fellowshipping with a group of people who had come out of the church and were walking in tabernacles. And the Spirit of the Lord was revealing to them also these same truths. And so we were kind of encouraging each other that it was the truth that the Lord was talking to us about. Now, this one scripture is very familiar to you. I'm going to read it. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And I thought, well, I've experienced these things. I've repented. I've been born again, and I'm trying to walk in faith, and I've been baptized in water. I've been baptized in the Spirit. I've had people lay hands on me for healing and lay hands on me for prophecy, and I believe in the resurrection of the dead, and I believe in eternal judgment. What does he mean that leave these things behind and go on? Well, the Lord left me to know that I was to be founded in these principles. They were to be part of me. They were to be part of my being, these principles of God. But I wasn't to rally around them. I wasn't to keep going around the same mountain. I was to start going up the mountain, go on to perfection, up the higher heights with God. And so as I meditated on these things, there was another scripture that the Lord spoke to me. It was what Paul said in Philippians. I'm going to read a few verses here. That I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if that by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I followed after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I know not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And I thought, well, Paul, why was Paul attaining to the resurrection? When we're born again and become children of God, that becomes our promise, that our body will be resurrected and we'll have eternal life. Here Paul was fulfilling his earthly ministry, being obedient to the earthly ministry God had called him to, and he was still trying to attain the resurrection. And I thought, what's that all about? And so there was another scripture that was very, very real about in Hebrews 11:35. It says, "Woman received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." These people knew there was a better resurrection to obtain. Paul knew that he was attaining to a better resurrection. And you know, I'm not a Hebrew student, but I have listened to people who have been Hebrew scholars, and I've listened to different messages, and one that stood out to me and witnessed with me and became part of me was that this Hebrew scholar taught that when Paul was talking there about that he might attain the resurrection, he said that I might attain the out resurrection, O-U-T. It says the out resurrection, the out from the dead resurrection, the resurrection that comes out before the second resurrection of the dead, that I might attain that resurrection. So I knew by the Spirit of God that Paul was attaining to the first resurrection, and that the first resurrection was that goal that he was striving for. And that first resurrection, I want to tell you, is the sun being set. We read about, I have some scriptures written here. Okay, one of these scriptures is, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the adoption which is the redemption of the body." So earlier in that chapter, they talk about the manifestation of the sons of God. And at the time I was coming into these truths, there were people who believed different things about the manifestation of the sons of God. Some people believed it would happen before the resurrection. Some people believed they had already entered into that. They were already manifested sons. Well, you know, God is faithful to lead us out of error and lead us into truth if we're really pure in heart and seeking after the truth. I knew none of these things witnessed with me. And when I found out in that same chapter where he talks about when the adoption of sons will happen is at the redemption of the body, it's the same chapter he talks about the manifestation of the sons of God. So I knew that the manifestation of the sons of God would be at the first resurrection at the time of sons. And in Webster's dictionary, one of the definitions of adoption is being formally set in. Well, that really blessed me. We're being formally set in as an adopted son of God. Praise the Lord. The first resurrection, the sons will be formally set in as adopted sons. And you know, Jesus said he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. One of those joys was that he would bring many sons to glory. That was one of the joys that helped him endure the cross. So at the first resurrection is the adoption of sons, those that have gone on to perfection, that have allowed the Spirit of God to lead them, to change them into the image of Jesus, to change them into the nature to God's, to bring them forth in God's nature. Those that have allowed that work, to the Holy Spirit, to do that work in their lives, they will be manifested. God will manifest them to the world. He will show them that they are his adopted sons and that they will rule and reign with the only begotten Son of God for 1,000 years. Wow. Wow, isn't that something to work for? Isn't that something each day? You know, Paul knew if he wanted to make that, he had to die daily. He had to bring his body under, lest after having preached that to many, he might himself become a castaway. He wasn't talking about being cast away from salvation. He was talking about being cast away from the high calling if he didn't die daily, bring his body under, and live and walk in the Spirit. He knew that he wouldn't make it. And at the time he wrote those scriptures in Philippians, he said he had not apprehended that. He knew he was apprehended to that. God called him to perfection, to sonship, but he knew he hadn't apprehended it yet. And even though he was faithful to his earthly ministry, he knew there was something else he was trying to attain to. You know, what was so overwhelming to me when God first made these truths real to me was the fact that while I could never have an earthly ministry like the Apostle Paul, I could press into that same calling for that same prize that Paul was pressing into. What an overwhelming, awesome reality that became when God told me I could press into that. I could never have an earthly ministry like Paul. No, 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 never. But I could press in to that same thing that Paul was pressing into. I could apprehend that apprehension for to be a son of God. I could allow the Spirit of God each day. This is a daily walk. Each day I could reckon that old man dead. And allow the Spirit of God to live and walk in me. Each day I would have to do that. As it were to reckon the old man dead, let me tell you something. The old man is not dead. We're to reckon him dead. We're to keep him under. I read it. Someone sent an article to Daniel, an email of a brother who had an article, and it was called The Fatal Trap of Extremism, and he was called Sinless Perfection is the Fatal Trap of Extremism. And as I read this article, some self-righteous spirit rose up within me, and I thought, how dare he encourage people not to press in? But you know, as I read on, and as I understood what this poor guy was saying, I felt sorry for him. This poor guy left the enemy tell him about a lie that was going around about sinless perfection that kept him from understanding the real, true perfection that God had him to press into. He said that a multitude of people are in this era. They believe that as soon as they're born again and saved, they enter sinless perfection and they can never sin again. That is not true. Well, who would believe that? Let me tell you, brothers, that old nature in you, the minute you let down walking with the Lord in obedience, that old nature is going to pop up and try and take you back to your old life, your old desires, your old sins, or whatever. He's not completely dead, and he won't be eradicated until you're with Jesus. But we can keep him under. We can reckon him dead. And we can die every day to him and keep the new man on top. But he's not dead. He's there. And I'm telling you, if we don't press in to God, if we don't live and walk in the Spirit each day, he's going to pop up and give us his ideas and try and induce us into walking in things we walked in before we were even saved or before we walked close to God. He's still alive. He's very much alive, but we reckon him dead. We reckon him dead. And we walk in the new man, and we don't let that old man come up and give us any ideas again. And I thought this poor man was encouraging people, said, don't ever try to walk in perfection. You'll just get so befuddled every day trying to do things right that you'll lose out with God. And I thought, that poor soul, that's all he knows about perfection. He doesn't know the wonderful plan God has made for his people to walk in perfection. You know what? The scripture that John says I want to read this one scripture that John said. It says, you know the scripture in John that says that to all those that received him, even to those that believe, gave he power to become the sons of God. It didn't say he made them sons of God. It said he gave them power to become the sons of God. Everyone that believed on him, everyone that received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. He gave them the power of choice, the power to choose to go on to know God, to follow after God. He gave them the Holy Spirit that dwells within to help them to perform that choice. But not everyone that was born again became a son. They just had the power to become a son. And there's more scriptures in here about the sons than there is about the bride of Christ. And then John says back in John 1:3, after he's talking to a people that have gone on a little with God, he says, beloved, now, right now by faith are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, not as he was, not as a baby in the manger, not as a Savior on the cross, that will see him as he is, the manifested Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, will see him as he is, and we will be like him, and we will be his adopted brothers, we will be heirs of God and with Jesus, we will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Isn't that something to ask God to help us to attain? And Paul knew what he was trying to attain to. He knew that. He knew we can be very faithful to what God's called us to down here, but But like Paul was, but he knew there was something else he wanted to attain to. He wanted to attain to a better resurrection. He wanted to attain to the first resurrection. And that's something we can attain to as we allow the Spirit of God to conform us to the image of Christ. You know, in 12th chapter of Corinthians, Paul tells him about the gifts of the Spirit. And he admonishes them to seek after the gifts of the Spirit. And yet he says at the end of that chapter, yet, even though I'm admonishing you to seek after the gifts of the Spirit, I'm going to show you your excellent way. And then he goes into the 13th chapter of the nature of God, which is love. The more excellent way is coming into the nature of God, more excellent than gifts, the nature of God. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not the nature of God, it profiteth me nothing. Though I give my body to be burned, and have not the nature of God, it profiteth me nothing. So he's the more excellent way Paul's talking about is to even not that we don't desire the gifts, or not that we don't, the gifts aren't still in operation, but not to have our minds, but to have our mind on being conformed to the nature of God, to the image of Jesus, that we might rule and reign with him for 1,000 years as adopted sons, that we might be legally set in place at the first resurrection, and that the whole world, we might be manifested, whoever of us who make it, we might be manifested to the whole world of that we are his adopted sons, and that we are heirs of his, that we are joint heirs with Christ, and that we're going to rule and reign with Christ. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing? I want to encourage everyone tonight. I think I have a burden on my heart. I want to encourage everyone tonight to press into that. Press into sonship. Begin to walk on the road to perfection. The Spirit of God, if that's your choice, the Spirit of God will help you. And the Spirit of God will lead you each day. And the Spirit of God will speak to you what you should lay down, what you should put on the altar, what relationships you should put on the altar for Christ. He'll lead you into that. And as you follow that, there's something down within you. You know, Dan sang a couple, he sang a song, I'm a son, I'm a son, I'm a son of God. And he got some remarks from people that said how blessed they were. You know why? Because deep down in your spirit, you're going on to sonship. And by faith, you're claiming in that song, I'm a son, I'm going to make it. I'm going on. And I'm a son of God. And I'm going on. And that's why that song blessed people. We used to sing all kinds of songs about sonship. There's one we used to sing, I'm in this world, but brother, I'm not of it. We're sons of God, and that's the way it is. And that's the way it's going to be if we, by faith, take our stand, allow God to do the work in us, press in, press in. Don't settle for anything less. Don't settle for anything less. Be a son of God. Hallelujah. Thank you. I felt maybe I should just share all those wonderful scriptures with you. Oh, I did want to say something about this poor man. This poor man that had this fatal trap. He said that John says, 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And he says, I think that John wrote that for these people that I'm telling you about that believe this. No, he didn't. He wrote that for all of us. He's telling all of us that we were born in Adamic nature, born in sin. And if we don't believe that we were born in sin, that we lie and the truth isn't in us. And you know how I know that's what he was saying? Because in that same book, in another chapter, he says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's how I know what he's talking about. He was telling us that if we say we weren't born in sin, if we say we weren't born with an Adamic nature, if we say we've never sinned, we lie and the truth isn't in us, but we can abide in Christ. He says we're to abide in him. If Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it will be done. So God made a way. He made a way. He told us to live and walk in the Spirit. He told us to abide in him. And now I want to tell you, I personally know God in a way that I know he would never, ever and do anything that was impossible for us to do. I know him better than that. When I was first saved, some Bible teachers used to teach it that no one could keep the law and the ordinance that God gave to the Old Testament. That's why Jesus came, because he's the only one that could teach him. That's not true. God gave those laws and ordinances, and he knew there were men, if they were willing to pay the price, they could keep them. He never gave them laws and ordinances and said, and knew that they couldn't keep them. He gave them because he knew it was possible for them to keep. And it's possible for us to go on to perfection. It's possible for us to go on to sonship. It's possible for us to lay down this Adamic nature and come forth in the nature of God. It's possible. It's possible. I have a burden to encourage anyone that's hearing me. Know that it's all things are possible, God. It's possible to press in and go on. Just follow him daily. Follow him daily. If you had to say the words, today I reckon the old man dead, and I walk and live in the new man. If you had to say that every morning when you get up, say it. Because God will take you on. God, you know, he says, here a little, there a little bit at a time. He takes us into this, you know. Oh, yeah, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. That's a sin to this. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Each day, a little bit at a time. Each day, yielding up ourselves unto the Spirit of the Lord and endeavoring to walk in obedience to him. And like Daniel says, if we fall, pick yourself up, brush yourself off, and start all over again. I praise God, and I thank you. I hope this encourages someone. I hate to take up all this time if it didn't encourage anyone. But shalom.
Amen. Good word. All right. Well, you got double whammy tonight. Jesus is putting aside all the lies behind. That's right. Pressing the high calling. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to press in. Help us to have faith that we can do it. And help us to obey so we do it. Amen. All right. Anybody else have anything to share? All righty. Well, we got plenty to meditate on. Remember, next Sunday is open mic night. You know, you guys get something together to share. God bless you. Be encouraged. To walk in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit this week. Let's determine and make our minds. We're going to walk in the Spirit this week, right? And we'll see you next Sunday. God willing, and the river don't rise.